Greetings, this is podcast number 23 of Blast the Right. I'm Jack Clark from therationalradical.com, www.therationalradical.com. Today the entire podcast will be devoted to the subject, Warrantless Wiretaps. Bush is even scaring some right-wingers. Let's get right into it. As you're undoubtedly aware, about 3 weeks ago, the New York Times reported that George Bush authorized the National Security Agency, NSA, to spy on Americans without warrants. Bush ignored the procedures of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA. Listen to what Bush said in an April 2004 speech, long after his warrantless spying program was underway.
Now, by the way, anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, a wiretap requires a court order. Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so. It's important for our fellow citizens to understand, when you think Patriot Act, constitutional guarantees are in place when it comes to doing what is necessary to protect our homeland, because we value the Constitution.
So clearly, beyond any shadow of a doubt, Bush is a liar. Bush was quoted as saying he was referring to roving wiretaps under the Patriot Act. But that's not true. That's what he was speaking about before this passage. But then this passage was an aside he was making that clearly was intended to encompass all federal wiretapping. But beyond lies, Bush's actions go to the critical question for a democracy of whether the president is an elected official bound by the Constitution and subject to the constitutional separation of powers framework, or whether he's a monarch, a despot, a dictator. Listen to George Bush quipping a few years ago at a press conference.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
Doesn't seem so funny now, does it? It'll probably sound even less funny when I play it again at the end of this podcast. Now, in this podcast, we're not going to approvingly play clips from or approvingly quote any progressive speakers. We're not going to play any progressive speakers at all. Nor, believe it or not, are we going to disparagingly play any right-winger clips or disparagingly quote any of them. No, we're going to approvingly play right-winger clips and approvingly quote them. Why? Well, Democrats and other progressives have, as you might expect, reacted furiously to the power-mad Bush. What's far more significant is how nonpartisan experts, and even more so, some staunch Republicans and even hardcore right-wingers, have also condemned the Bushian power grab. Some loyalist Bush supporters are trying to push the line that, oh, it's just the hate Bush crowd, the usual crowd of anti-Bush people who are opposed to these warrantless wiretaps. But that's not so. I'm going to present here several audio clips and quotations from right-wingers. These audio clips and quotes will be roughly in order of the speaker or writer's increasing distance from the liberal progressive fold. Interestingly, that almost directly correlates with how stridently anti-Bush they become. So stick with this. The right-winger comments get amazingly anti-Bush towards the end of this litany. It's not just about what these right-wingers are saying about Bush, it's how they're saying it. It's wild. So I'll start off with a nonpartisan expert and then get into the Republicans and right-wingers. Let me give you the setup for the nonpartisan expert. These audio clips are from an O'Reilly Factor segment. His two guests are law professors, Jonathan Turley from George Washington University and Paul Rothstein from Georgetown University. Usually O'Reilly will pair a fire-breathing right-winger with an opponent that's in the middle of the road or just slightly left of center. So the first thing to note here is that the best O'Reilly could apparently come up with to take the pro-Bush position, Paul Rothstein, is the wishy-washy one here. Rothstein said,
Well, it's a very close case, but the president is not entirely off the wall on this.
A very close case and not entirely off the wall. Quite a ringing endorsement. Actually, it's a nice way of saying weak, weak, weak case, George Bush. The real significant thoughts here come from Professor Turley. According to the GWU website, Turley is the second most cited law professor in the country. He appears regularly on all the major television networks as a legal expert. He's on Fox quite a bit. He's not a partisan raging liberal. Now, I must say, I did see on a right-winger forum, I think it was Free Republic, where one of the posters said that, oh no, Turley's a Democrat, and Turley once himself claimed to be left of Clinton. I don't know if that's true. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because his ideology, whatever it is, obviously doesn't color his legal conclusions, since Turley called for Clinton's impeachment. He came down really hard on Clinton. So let's hear what Turley thinks of the current situation.
Professor Turley, how do you see it?
Well, I have to disagree with my good friend Paul. I don't consider this a close case at all. I think that this operation it was based upon a federal crime. Under federal law, there's only two ways in order for the president to engage in surveillance of citizens in this way. They can get a Title III warrant, which is the traditional electronic surveillance warrant in criminal cases, or they can get a so-called FISA warrant from the secret court. But it is a crime for someone acting under the color of law to order surveillance or to conduct surveillance unless you've gone to a judge under one of those two schemes.
No wishy-washy close case here. He says, this operation was based on a federal crime. It is a crime for someone acting under the color of law to order surveillance or to conduct surveillance unless you've gone to a judge under one of those two schemes. Turley goes on to say, regarding Bush,
it doesn't give me any great joy, but I believe the president committed a federal crime. I think that crime was premeditated.
Jonathan.
Bush committed a premeditated federal crime. Now, Turley a few moments later said he didn't think these crimes would, quote, rise, close quote, to a level of impeachment. It wasn't clear in the context whether he meant that they didn't as a matter of fact or that Congress wouldn't treat them as such because of the politics of the situation. Turley was quoted in the press the next day saying, quote, when the president admits that he violated federal law, that raises serious constitutional questions of high crimes and misdemeanors, close quote. Considering that statement and that Turley called for Clinton's impeachment over a lie about sex, I imagine Turley meant he didn't think Congress would go ahead with an impeachment because of political considerations, not that illegal wiretapping doesn't constitute such grounds. In any event, let's leave the nonpartisan arena and go on to the Republicans and right-wingers and see what they have to say. First, we have Nixonite John Dean. If you'll recall, John Dean was White House counsel to Richard Nixon. He was charged with obstruction of justice during the Watergate scandal. The FBI even referred to him as the, quote, master manipulator of the cover-up, close quote. Dean then became the star witness against the administration during the Watergate hearings. He pled guilty to obstruction of justice and served 4 months in prison. So no foaming at the mouth liberal he. Let's see what he wrote. The title of his article that appeared just last Friday is George W. Bush as the new Richard Nixon, : both wiretapped illegally and impeachably. Let me read a bit from the article. Quote, on Friday, December 16th, the New York Times published a major scoop by James Reason and Eric Lichtblau. They reported that Bush authorized the National Security Agency to spy on Americans without warrants, ignoring the procedures of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It was a long story loaded with astonishing information of law-breaking at the White House. On Saturday, December 17th, in his radio broadcast, Bush admitted that the New York Times was correct, and thus conceded he had committed an impeachable offense. There can be no serious question that warrantless wiretapping in violation of the law is impeachable. After all, Nixon was charged in Article 2 of his bill of impeachment with illegal wiretapping for what he, too, claimed were national security reasons. These parallel violations underscore the continuing, disturbing parallels between this administration and the Nixon administration. Indeed, here, Bush may have outdone Nixon. Nixon's illegal surveillance was limited. Bush's, it is developing, may be extraordinarily broad in scope. First reports indicated that NSA was only monitoring foreign calls, originating either in the USA or abroad, and that no more than 500 calls were being covered at any given time. But later reports have suggested that NSA is, quote, data mining, close quote, literally millions of calls, and has been given access by the telecommunications companies to switching stations through which foreign communications traffic flows, close quote. Dean also talks about Bush's having been, quote, ferreted out as a criminal, close quote. Dean concludes his piece by stating that Bush acted in, quote, blatant violation of Congress's law. In acting here without congressional approval, Bush has underlined that his presidency is unchecked, in his and his attorney's view, utterly beyond the law. Now that he has turned the truly awesome powers of the NSA on Americans, what asserted powers will Bush use next? And when, if ever, will we, and Congress, discover that he is using them? Close quote. Let's move on from John Dean. The conclusion that Bush broke the law is echoed by Fox's in-house legal expert, Judge Andrew Napolitano. He said during an interview, quote, when Congress enacted the FISA Act, it also made it criminal for anyone in this country to use the power of the government to wiretap without a search warrant. It made it easy to get the search warrant with the FISA law, but it said you have to get the search warrant, close quote. The interviewer then asks Napolitano, quote, so what the president's doing is a criminal act, close quote. And Napolitano responds, quote, the president has violated the law in the name of national security, not wanting to violate the law, believing he's doing the right thing, but he violated it nonetheless. He can't pick and choose which laws to obey and not to obey any more than the rest of us can, close quote. Who else besides John Dean and Judge Napolitano? Some Republican senators are not standing up for George Bush at all either. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said that, quote, I don't know of any legal basis to go around, close quote, the requirement to get a warrant before engaging in domestic surveillance. Senator John McCain said that it's a, quote, legitimate question, close quote, to ask why, quote, the president chose not to use FISA, close quote. And when Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez argued that the inherent executive authority of the president made what he did legal, Senator Arlen Specter, and he's the guy in charge of organizing an investigation into this whole issue, Senator Specter said that he was, quote, skeptical of the Attorney General's citation of authority, close quote. Now, given the ultra-cautious manner in which these gentlemen are wont to speak, especially when criticizing their own president, their comments really amount to a chorus of, Bush obviously broke the law. Let's move now to the really plain-speaking variety of right-wingers. It really begins to get entertaining, if such is possible under the circumstance of incipient dictatorship. First, we have the conservative Wall Street Journal-owned Barron's. Barron's wrote in an editorial, quote, as the year was drawing to a close, we picked up our New York Times and learned that the Bush administration has been fighting terrorism by intercepting communications in America without warrants. It was worrisome on its face, but in justifying their actions, officials have made a bad situation much worse. Administration lawyers and the president himself have tortured the Constitution and extracted a suspension of the separation of powers. The administration is saying the president has unlimited authority to order wiretaps in the pursuit of foreign terrorists, and that the Congress has no power to overrule him. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said, quote, we also believe the president has the inherent authority under the Constitution as Commander-in-Chief to engage in this kind of activity, close quote. The Department of Justice made a similar assertion as far back as 2002, saying in a legal brief, quote, the Constitution vests in the president inherent authority to conduct warrantless intelligence surveillance, electronic or otherwise, of foreign powers or their agents, and Congress cannot by statute extinguish that constitutional authority. Close quote. Gonzalez last week declined to declassify relevant legal reviews made by the Department of Justice. Perhaps they were researched in a star chamber. Putting the president above the Congress is an invitation to tyranny. The president has no powers except those specified in the Constitution and those enacted by law. End of editorial excerpt. Invoking the Star Chamber in connection with the Bush administration? That's the kind of language you'd expect from a staunch progressive, not from a bastion of right-wing thought. The editorial went on, quote, willful disregard of a law is potentially an impeachable offense. It is at least as impeachable as having a sexual escapade under the Oval Office desk and lying about it later. The members of the House Judiciary Committee, who staged the impeachment of President Clinton, ought to be as outraged at this situation. They ought to investigate it, consider it carefully, and report either a bill that would change the wiretap laws to suit the president, or a bill of impeachment, close quote. So Barron's is basically saying that if Bush continues what he's doing, Congress has to either change the law to allow him to do so, or impeach Bush. Barron's concludes with an attack on the Bush administration's pension for, in effect, labeling as traitors anyone who challenges their assertion of unlimited powers. Barron said that administration critics should not be, quote, scared of being called names, as the president did last week when he said, quote, It was a shameful act for someone to disclose this very important program at a time of war. The fact that we're discussing this program is helping the enemy, close quote. Wrong. If we don't discuss the program and the lack of authority for it, we are meeting the enemy in the mirror, close quote. So how'd you like that from Barron's, of all places? It gets even better. Here are some more harsh anti-Bush words from right-wingers. Bruce Fine was an associate deputy attorney general under President Ronald Reagan. Bruce Fine has impeccable right-wing credentials. A little over 2 weeks ago, he appeared on Diane Rehm's NPR show. Let's see what Fine had to say. Reams poses the question to Fine in the form of reading an email.
And here's an email from Carl in Breedsville, Michigan, who, picking up on the earlier conversation and earlier email, says, "So again is spying on the American people as impeachable an offense as lying about having sex with an intern, Bruce?"
I think the answer requires, at least in part, considering what the occupant of the presidency says in the aftermath of wrongdoing or rectification. On its face, if President Bush is totally unapologetic and says, "I continue to maintain that as a wartime president, I can do anything I want. I don't need to consult any other branches," that is an impeachable offense. It's more dangerous than Clinton's lying under oath because it jeopardizes our democratic dispensation and civil liberties for the ages. It would set a precedent that, as Robert Jackson said, would lie around like a loaded gun, able to be used indefinitely for any future occupant.
An impeachable offense, more dangerous than Clinton's lying under oath, like a loaded gun, jeopardizes our democratic dispensation and civil liberties for the ages. Remember when Fine says, quote, "it's more dangerous than Clinton's lying under oath," close quote, he was one of Clinton's harshest critics. Fine had more to say later in the program.
Here's an email from Ron, who says, "If Bush is bypassing the Patriot Act to spy on U.S. citizens in the USA, he is saying he is above the law. In that case, does it not make him a dictator?" That kind of goes back
I'm not sure it's the Patriot Act. He's probably referring to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
Exactly.
But it is this attitude that the president is not required to comply with separation of powers doctrines, even the unwritten customs of the Constitution that don't enable the president to push the envelope as far as he can go till the Supreme Court says no, certainly is contrary to anything we've experienced in our prior two centuries as a democratic dispensation.
All right.
What Bush is doing is contrary to anything we've experienced in our prior two centuries as a democratic dispensation. I guess the word unprecedented would be an understatement to describe the Bush-Cheney power grab. You may be wondering, has Fine had second thoughts after his blistering words on NPR? Quite the contrary. About 9 days later, he published an op-ed in the right-wing Washington Times. He said, quote, "President Bush presents a clear and present danger to the rule of law. He cannot be trusted to conduct the war against global terrorism with a decent respect for civil liberties and checks against executive abuses." Closed quote. He later added about Bush, quote, "Why is he so carefree about risking the liberties of both the living and those yet to be born by flouting the Constitution's separation of powers and conflating constructive criticism with treason?" Close quote. So like Barron's, Fein also doesn't like to be on the receiving end of the Bush tactic of likening those who disagree with him to traitors. We progressives have been getting that for years now. Join the club, right-wingers scared about Bush. Can another right-winger top Fein's words? Perhaps Norman Ornstein, a resident scholar at the Conservative American Enterprise Institute, was on the same program as Fein. Listen to what he said.
Well, I think if we're going to be intellectually honest here, this really is the kind of thing that Alexander Hamilton was referring to when impeachment was discussed.
What Bush did is the exact kind of thing that impeachment was invented for. Ornstein, like his right-wing cohort Fein, had no second thoughts after his NPR appearance. In fact, Ornstein was just getting warmed up. Days later, he went further, raging in a column on the American Enterprise Institute website. And sit down while you listen to this. Quote, "The Bush approach to presidential power is simple, straightforward, and clear. L'état, c'est moi." As conservative constitutional scholar Bruce Fein puts it, even King George III would blush at asserting this level of bold, unchecked power. But the way in which the president is handling the revelations of secret wiretaps on Americans, unapologetic and promising to continue doing it, makes it clear that this is just what the president believes. Close quote. Did you ever think you'd hear a right-winger compare George Bush to King George III, whom the American colonies revolted against in the Revolutionary War? Ornstein's still just getting warmed up. He goes on, quote, "Of course, we can feel better with the administration's assurances that there were checks on the president's wiretapping by the Justice Department, especially since those assurances come at the same time we have learned that the unanimous career staff recommendation that the Texas redistricting scheme engineered by Representative Tom DeLay violated the Voting Rights Act was derailed by Justice Department politicos. That followed on the heels of the revelation that the abominable Georgia voter identification law, also challenged by career justice attorneys as a poll tax, was derailed by some of the same politicos," close quote. Listen to this sarcasm about how the Bushians can't be trusted. It sounds like me speaking. Indeed, remember how a few podcasts ago, I also condemned that same hijacking of the Justice Department Civil Rights Division by Bush political operatives? I'm beginning to get a bit lightheaded. And now listen to how Ornstein goes on in a way I might even refrain from. Quote, "We can be even more reassured since this week one of the key politicos in these cases, Hans von Spakovsky, was rewarded with a nomination to the Federal Election Commission. Watching Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez justify the wiretaps by relying on the inherent powers of the Commander-in-Chief suggests that the Bush Justice Department is to checks and balances what Paris Hilton is to chastity." Closed quote. What Paris Hilton is to chastity? When dyed-in-the-wool right-wingers start cracking jokes that conjure up images of sex videos, you know hell is starting to freeze over. And that's not all. Ornstein rants on. Remember, as I have a hard time doing when I read this, this is a right-winger speaking, one who's the resident scholar at a right-wing holy of holies, the American Enterprise Institute. Ornstein writes, quote, "Does Congress have any cojones? Beyond oversight hearings, Congress should repass the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, with its flat language that prohibits what President Bush did without the approval required by the special court, then send it to Bush. If he signs it, that would be a signal he accepts the reality of the law. If he vetoes it, and if that veto is overridden, as it surely would be, it would underscore for him the reality of the rule of law. Second, Specter and the other members of Judiciary need to add one more important item to the Alito hearings. We need an extended exploration of the judge's views of presidential power. If he is indeed a strict constructionist, he will say that, as the Constitution and the framers make clear, the inherent powers of a commander-in-chief do not allow presidents to act like kings or despots, whether under the pressure of war or through the claim of national security, especially if they invoke a war like the war on terror that will never end. Close quote. So Ornstein is saying if Alito doesn't make it clear he opposes the kind of unchecked presidency Bush wants, right-wingers may oppose Alito. Is your head spinning? Mine is. Here's one last item to indicate just how far Bush has gone beyond even what some right-wingers can stomach. This is from a New York Times article that appeared earlier this week. Apparently in March 2004, then Attorney General John Ashcroft was in the hospital for gallbladder surgery. Acting in his place as Attorney General was his top deputy, James B. Comey. The White House went to Mr. Comey and asked him to sign on to the continued use of the NSA warrantless wiretapping program. Comey refused to sign on. He was concerned about its legality and the lack of proper oversight mechanisms. So two of President Bush's most senior aides, his chief of staff Andrew Card and Alberto Gonzalez, who was then White House counsel, made an emergency visit to Ashcroft's hospital room. The Times reports that, quote, some officials said that Mr. Ashcroft, like his deputy, appeared reluctant to give Mr. Card and Mr. Gonzalez his authorization to continue with aspects of the program in light of concerns among some senior government officials about whether the proper oversight was in place at the security agency and whether the president had the legal and constitutional authority to conduct such an operation. It is unclear whether the White House ultimately persuaded Mr. Ashcroft to give his approval to the program after the meeting, or moved ahead without it. Close quote. So you have the number two guy at the Justice Department, and possibly also the number one guy, John Ashcroft himself. Not known as a great defender of civil liberties. Even they didn't want to go along with Bush's warrantless surveillance program. So there you have it. Neutral legal expert Professor Jonathan Turley.
This operation, it was based upon a federal crime. I believe the president committed a federal crime.
John Dean. Fox News' Judge Andrew Napolitano. Senator Graham, Senator McCain, Senator Specter, Barrons, Bruce Fein.
That is an impeachable offense.
Norman Ornstein.
This really is the kind of thing that Alexander Hamilton was referring to when impeachment was discussed.
The number two ranking official at the Justice Department under John Ashcroft. Remember, other than the two law professors, every word you heard in the audio clips and every quotation I read came from at least an ardent Republican and often from a hardcore right-winger. Have these Republicans and right-wingers suddenly become morally and spiritually enlightened? I don't think so. I believe it's their self-preservation instinct that's motivating them. They wouldn't want these powers in the hands of a liberal Democratic president, so they have to oppose them in the hands of a right-wing president as well. As I said I would do at the top of the podcast, let me play that Bush dictator clip again.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
It's really not so funny now, is it? Apparently, even some right-wingers are beginning to agree. If you meet any that don't yet agree, don't let them get away with the lie that only the hate Bush crowd is against Bush's warrantless wiretap program. Tell them about what their more honest and self-preservative right-wing buddies are saying. And if that doesn't work, ask them, how would you like a President Hillary Clinton to be exercising these powers that Bush is claiming? If you wouldn't be comfortable with that, tell them, you must oppose Bush's claim of such despotic power. After all, right-wingers won't be controlling the White House and both houses of Congress forever, will they? Well, they just might, unless we do something about the electronic voting machine fraud that the GOP is perpetrating across the country. But that's, as they say, a whole nother subject. Well, that'll about wrap it up for today. If you liked what you heard, tell a friend about Blast the Right. If they don't know about podcasting, turn them on to that as well. If you think podcasting may be beyond them, then just give them the URL of my podcast homepage and tell them to fill out the Feed Blitz email notification box. Then they'll be notified each time there's a new podcast. And all you Live 365 listeners on the Red Dragon 365 channel, please also go to my podcast homepage if you haven't already done so and sign up for one of the subscription methods. That way you'll have two ways to listen. The additional subscriptions help me in getting more visibility on podcast directory sites. Music credits. The opening instrumental was L.A. Nightmare by 22 Caliber. They can be found at music.podshow.com. We'll end the podcast with a little bit of Catapult the Propaganda. That's by Nise Music, NISEmusic.com. These links and links to all the other music played on the Blast the Right podcast can be found on my music resources page, which is linked to off the main podcast homepage. Thanks to crooksandliars.com for links to some of the audio clips I played. Links to crooksandliars.com and all the other sources used on the Blast the Right podcast can be found on my data resources page, which is also linked to off the main podcast homepage. You may recall that, in the podcast directly before the holidays, I modified my closing where I referred to right-wing pieces of crap. Today, in keeping with the legal theme of the show, I will say the following. I hereby declare that the phrase right-wing pieces of crap, as hereinafter uttered, shall not, until further notice, apply to such right-wingers as have been publicly quoted saying that George Bush has committed impeachable offenses with his warrantless wiretapping program. Said appellation, right-wing pieces of crap, shall continue to apply to all other right-wingers, especially to those who are defending George Bush's usurpation of dictatorial powers. End of my modification. So, until next time, I'll sign off and say I love you all, including, as herein before defined, all you right-wing pieces of crap.
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again to kind of catapult the propaganda. Catapult the propaganda.